First, we'll head to Egypt, where it's possible that the Muslim Brotherhood will be banned again. Our correspondent, Hugh Sykes, has been going to the country regularly since 2005, when the first signs of democracy began to emerge as President Hosni Mubarak realised he could not resist change forever. Hugh is live with us this morning in Cairo, as he has been on our programmes all week, and he's here to reflect on the present news and the past few years of the Egyptian street. Hugh, welcome. A cabinet meeting that could ban the Brotherhood again.
More important than that, Paddy, fitting in with your bird theme, this morning is the first morning I've heard birds in Cairo in nearly a week. One bird, only one, but a dove cooing once. Egypt is in the depths. Clearly, the widely unpopular sit-ins, by slaughtering hundreds of the citizens, but the previously widely popular military, are creating dangerous new enemies and losing friends. And there is now this proposal to ban the Brotherhood, but the Brotherhood is already banned. It was banned by President Nasser in 1954 after they tried to kill him. And so banning it again is fairly technical, although with new legal measures against it, they could paralyse the Brotherhood by seizing their assets and closing their offices. But the danger of that is that the Brotherhood morphs back into the violent organisation that it used to be before it became politically pragmatic. And interestingly, yesterday, a very significant figure with a very significant name, Mohammed al-Zawahiri, the brother of Ayman al-Zawahiri, the head of al-Qaeda, was arrested here in Cairo.
Now, Hugh, I've asked you also if you will reflect for us this Sunday morning, looking back at the sort of power and the curse of the Egyptian street.
Indeed. On my first visit to Egypt in 2005, there was a sudden new confidence in the air, tangible almost, about an eventual transition to democracy. But there was also, even then, anxiety about what would happen if long-repressed religion emerged. Anxiety that it would emerge as an undemocratic, violent force. One day, I visited a wealthy businessman, Hassan. That looks like very nice champagne.
Does it? Oh yeah, Pommery.
A lawn, a swimming pool, beautiful flowers, palm trees, a light breeze, a golf course all around.
This is a suburb of Cairo called Katameya Heights. The air is cleaner. It's usually very quiet. You haven't got the ubiquitous mosque.
And he believed the great danger would come from within those mosques which he'd escaped if ever they were liberated after being pent up for so long.
When you have that brutal regime, the religiosity in response to the regime becomes equally, even sometimes more brutal, and then you have a snowball.
The best organised, banned but tolerated response to the Mubarak regime was the Muslim Brotherhood. A Brotherhood leader, Essam al-Erian, was arrested and detained while I was here in Cairo in 2005.
We are struggling for democracy since more than 50 years. Mr. Mubarak cannot exclude Muslim brothers from this country. We are citizens. We are supported by a very big sector of the population.
On the street, people were beginning to lose their fear and speak out illegally to foreign reporters.
We need freedom for Egyptians and democratic.
It took another 6 years. Freedom eventually came with the removal of Mubarak by the army on the 11th of February 2011.
Egypt is free, and I'm telling the universe, Egyptians are coming!
Welcome to Egypt. Freedom is very, very, very good.
We will never forget this day.
And there was a revealing confidence in SCAF, the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, who deposed Mubarak.
We trust that they'll make Egypt better.
It's a strange situation, though, isn't it? This is a military coup and they're promising democracy.
The population wants democracy, so they are supporting us.
I trust the armed forces and I really have full trust in them.
And there seemed to be little anxiety that God might be allowed to get too closely involved in government.
Religion is between us and God. It doesn't have to be between people, you know. It's between us and God.
Some people are beginning to say, oh, there is a great danger that the Muslim Brotherhood will take over here and that Egypt will be like Iran, a religious dictatorship.
Now we know that this happened to Iran. Now we know that there is this dangerous, and I believe we are more, you know, open-minded than the Iran's. I believe that. People won't let them. We want democracy. We want civilization. We want real democracy.
And this was Tahrir Square on the eve of the promised elections in November 2011. And in the morning, smiles framed by hijabs in the long lines at the polling stations.
There are three women here, all smiling at me.
We have all to smile. Why not?
It must be a happy day. We hope to achieve something, something good for our country.
But I'm not going to vote to the Islamic. No. No, 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 no.
Why won't you vote for an Islamic party?
They are very
rough.
Rough.
And our religion is not so rough.
Islamic won. A combination of the Brotherhood and Salafists got more than three quarters of the seats in Parliament. Some of the original revolutionary youth from Tahrir Square were appalled.
I was in first day in this revolution, and I support this revolution so, so much. But now I changed my mind about this revolution.
A former Prime Minister, Dr. Abdelaziz Hegazi, had tried to persuade them to get a leader, to get organised against the formidable Islamic party machines. But the boys, as he called them, didn't listen.
The boys never expected that the Muslim Brotherhood would succeed. The problem is that the Brotherhood came in, and so the boys were out.
And those original 2011 revolutionaries became even more disillusioned when the presidential election in 2012 presented them with a final choice between Mubarak's last prime minister, Ahmed Shafiq, and a man that many people had barely even heard of a few months earlier, an Islamist called Mohamed Morsi. This educated intellectual voter spoiled his ballot paper.
When I went to the polling station, I ruined my votes.
Was there really no point in voting?
They are two sides of the same coin. They're both fascists. One is a military fascist and the other is a religious fascist.
Morsi won with just over 51% of the vote. But the turnout for Egypt's first ever free presidential election was tepid, just over half the electorate. The Brotherhood fast-tracked an Islamist constitution, with Morsi at the head of what many Egyptians began to perceive as a one-party state, which was completely neglecting priority issues like poverty and women's rights. So on the 30th of June this year, People Power returned to Tahrir Square, where millions now insisted that Morsi be removed for failing to address the demands and goals of the revolution. 3 days later, General Sisi decided that the best option for Egypt was to abandon the elections of 2011 and 2012 as a failed first attempt at democracy, to reboot the revolution and start again. A neat solution, unless you're an Islamist who's now grieving for a stolen dream, an Islamist who believed that the West believed in democracy, whatever the result. First Hamas in 2006, now Egypt in 2013. Democracy dismissed. Twice, dumped. Just listen to this anger.
This is democracy? You always, from 10 years, told us, Muslims, you have to go to democracy. Muslim, you have to go to elections. Arab, you have to go to election. We already gone to election. We elect the president. Morsi is elected president.
Where is the human rights? Where is the humanity? Where is the democracy? Where are the principles? Where is all this taking? It's liars! It's liars! It's liars! Liars government! Liars government! We are dying here and you are dying!
We've been listening to Hugh's recorded report, including that very strong interview from the street. And I wonder if Hugh's still listening. whilst we wait for
it. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, Hugh, it's striking to hear the passion from the street. I'm reading as I'm listening that a Reuters report says that the EU is now to review in the coming days its relations with Egypt and adopt measures to pursue these goals. That's a statement which has come whilst we've been on the air. Finally to you, Hugh, to make the best effort you can to answer this question. Will there be a new chapter turning this week, do you think, if the cabinet moves to ban the Brotherhood?
Yes. It's becoming more and more difficult to report this. Look, the Rabaa massacre is going to be put in the diaries and folk memory of Brotherhood members and their supporters and Islamists around the world as Rabaa Massacre Day, August the 14th, 2013. And some of the anger that you've just heard has now turned into threats and violence against journalists, making it hard now to go out and film and record events. Several news people have been killed, including a Sky News cameraman, and many others have been menaced by crowds, by Brotherhood crowds and by neighbourhood vigilantes guarding their properties against the Brotherhood. Two images now dominate protest banners here, Mohamed Morsi and General Sisi, the military ruler, with secular socialist President Nasser looking over his shoulder.